Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move. Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your...
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community, 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 to the...
God always sees the love in me, the love in me, that's the promised land. God always sees. the promised land. You're living in it. You're walking in it. It is called love. You bring it here. As a matter of fact, you don't bring it. You are it. So when you're on this side of the veil, you're living on the promised land. When you check out of this spacesuit and go to the other side of the realm, you're still in the promised land. But on the other side, we are told that it's so much more than words, and we get to find out, are you in the promised land? Because where you are right now is what you're going to take with you. You better get it together. Yes, yes, yes. Cynthia James reminding us that we are already in the promised land. We are here to release the love that we are. We are here to embrace the love that we are. We are here to see the world through the eyes of love. Are you willing? Are you ready? The time is now. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference. There's just no way to even convey that message. There's not enough words. I love what Cynthia James said yesterday. If you don't show up, if you don't do what you're here to do, there's a hole in the universe. We don't want a hole in the universe. We want you to be holy, holy, holy. The time is now. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. And today's topic is near-death experience. We have a guest, David Better, is in the house. Try and tell us what it's like on the other side. I can't wait to talk to him. What is it like on the other side? And the things that I've read about David and what I saw on his website, why did you come back? perspective. You know, that's all it is. When I was in England, well, when I was living here, I went back to England for a while. They said, why did you come back here with America? In America, people say, why did you move from England? Like, life is to be experienced and enjoyed. You know, so we can travel wherever we want to go. Well, and we're going to travel to the other side of the veil with David Bennett in a minute, and real soon after the announcements. I want to welcome all of you in the chat room, those of you listening on the phone line, and those of you listening online. Don't get distracted. Stay in the moment. I'm going to have to call on Carly Jackson. Anyway, I want to welcome all of you. Colby is in the house. Silent listeners disguised as guests. We have Nahari, Tamara, Teresa, Wildflower Wine, Wisdom of Isis. Yes, what do you have for us today? And Celeste is on the phone line, as always, the Oracle, the number Oracle. I've got so many names for her. Betty Piggies is here, ready to do her thing. Actually, she's doing her thing. She's running from one computer to the other and one website to the other. So let me just bring Betty. She's ready. She's like, Ade. Come to me. I'm ready. I'm ready. I know she is. I can feel her right now. She's like, come on, man. Hey, Betty, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm always ready.
At least 99.9% of the time. So,
yeah.
But
you never know when I'm going to come to you.
Yeah. You have a whack of finding that a gift of finding that 1% of the time when I'm not ready.
What can I say? I live in the promised land. And speaking of promised land, when you're living in the place of love, you know everything. You are everything. To find out more about Cynthia James, go to her website, cynthiajames.net. You can find out about her book, her workshops, her music, the songs, and all those great stuff. Yes. So, my wonderful co-producer, Betty Piggies, the number one psychic in the whole universe. Ooh, did I say that? Yes, in the whole universe. Take it away.
Well, you know, we've had a great week this week, haven't we, Ade? And today's show, I am so looking forward to it. I love this topic, near-death experiences. And lately, I've just been running into people who have had them and have been telling me their stories. And so it's fascinating.
Are you sure you're not the one having the near-death experience and you're meeting people who are on the other side? Maybe you've actually had it, but you thought you were meeting people on this side. You might want to meditate on that. Maybe you've had so many.
Well, For a quick reminder for our chat room people and to let those who are new to the chat room know, to leave a question for Life Coach Ade or our guest, please go to our Ask Life Coach Ade page on Facebook. Now, I am on that page live during the show, so I will be able to see anything you put up there immediately. I will also put a link in the chat room so you can go to it immediately. Now, if you do not do the Facebook thing, then please go to our radio website, which is www.lifeconversationsmedia.com. And click on the Ask Life Coach Ade tab. Now, there you can send us your question or comments. Now, this is a great option to use at any time if you want to send us a question or comment and remain anonymous. Now, of course, the best way to ask questions is to simply call in and punch one on your keypad. Now, having said all that, tomorrow we will be discussing the transformational power of sound by OmniPure Music with creators Kirtland and Laura Ross. Now, OmniPure is a music that connects body, mind, and spirit by activating an energy code in the body that upgrades the DNA and raises the high frequency of vibration. Now, I personally have their music and meditative CDs, and I just simply love them. I think they're some of the best, and I know you're going to love that show too as well. Now, to find out about all of our guests, our programming, our hosts, our past guests, and so much more, please go to our radio website, liveconversationsmedia.com. Now, to listen to any of our archive shows, to like the program, to follow the program, in fact, so that you may never miss what's coming up, simply follow the show. You can do it currently right now. I think it's at a tab at the top of your page. But follow the show, and you will always get a reminder when the show is airing. And what I like about that, you can even let them know how soon of a reminder you want. Like for me, it's every 10 minutes for my favorite shows. So like I want to know 10 minutes before the show starts, and that's how I get them. So having said all that, please sit back, enjoy the show, and Life Coach Ade, take it away.
Thank you, Betty. that's one of my favorite segments of the show now. Betty does that so well. You are listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We are here Monday to Thursday, what time? 12 to 1:30 p.m. most of the time. But as Betty said, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com to find out all the details. It's time to bring on David, and we want to find out this thing called near-death experience. If you actually die, why is it called near-death? It should be called a death experience. I don't know. We'll find out. Now, that's some of the thoughts that are just flying around in my consciousness. And how are you able to come back? We'll see all of that. And the thing about it is, I don't know if David is addicted to near-death experiences, but he's had it three times. Like, okay, so it's going to be a great conversation. I can just feel it. Let me read a little bit about David, and we'll take it from there. David Bennett had three transformative experiences. In 1993, he drowned and had a near-death experience while being the chief engineer of the ocean research vessel Aloha. And then he had another experience called spiritually transformative experience in 1994 when he was a manager at the dialysis program in New York. The third one occurred November 2000 when David was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. David is well connected in the near-death experience community. He has lectured at the International Conference of IANS, International Association for Near-Death Studies. That's a mouthful. International Conference of International Association for Near-Death Studies, and shared his inspirational message at groups across the country, including Lilydale. He has consulted for both radio and television, including Oprah and DJ Oz, as a near-death experience. I'm hearing funny words in my consciousness. I wanted to say Dr. Well, I was going to read Dr. Oz, but in my head I heard DJ Oz. What is going on? I think I've been hijacked. Some people got my body. Let's bring on David so I can rescue myself. Hello, David. How are you doing? David is not there where he is. There he is. Hello, David. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing this morning?
I am wonderful. Nice to have you here. Welcome to Life Conversations Radio. And I've read some things about you. I've got loads of questions. But the first question I want to ask you is, as I said, look at your website. There's a lot of information about you. From your point of view, who are you? Who is David Bennett?
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe that the I am that is me talking to you right now, is a fragment of light that is connected to the all, or all the all-encompassing universe. And so I see myself as just a fragment of that love, of that completeness.
Mm-hmm. A fragment of that completeness. Now, let's talk about near-death experiences. Now, on your side, in your bio, it said you've had three transformative experiences. So one is called near-death experiences, near-death experience, and the other one is spiritually transformative experience. What is near-death experience? And then we will talk about the spiritual transformative experience.
Yes, actually, the term near-death experience was coined by Dr. Raymond Moody back in 1975. And so the term is really dated because many people have experiences very similar to near-death experiences, and they're not near-death. So the term near-death experience is a little dated, and one of the more modern terms that we're trying to use in our community anyway are spiritually transformative experiences, and because a near-death experience is when someone is close to death. They're, you know, they've lost their heartbeat. There's no longer brain function. There's no longer respiration. Those people that then return, about 17 to 20% of them will recall some form of experience, some spiritually transformative experience. But there are so many other types of transformative experiences that have a spiritual component in it. And you don't have to die to have one of these experiences. So we really feel that the term near-death experience is a little dated. And I like to use spiritually transformative experiences. And when I meet another person who's had an experience, to me, they're just experiencers.
I hear that. And, you know, I want to go back to what I said earlier as well, that whole thing about near death. I mean, when we just look at it plainly, uses the word, it means to me, it sounded like you didn't die, but it was near death. I mean, is that part of why you think it needs to be changed to spiritually transformative experience? Or have you ever met anybody who actually died where it was a death experience?
Right. Well,
rather
in
than
1983,
near death experience?
I did die in 1983. And where I drowned and I was gone. I was on the other side for 12 minutes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met many other people that have died and returned. So, yes, near death, many of us actually call it a death account or a death experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the term is kind of loosely used, I would say.
Okay, so let's talk about your dying experience. When you were on the other side, how did it happen? What did you see? What did you bring back?
Yeah, back in 1983, I was the chief engineer of the research vessel Aloha, and we had an accident at sea when we were 2 miles off the California coast back in March of 1983. And in this accident, we were in a really raging sea of 25-foot waves, and our Zodiac, we were in this rubber boat, the Zodiac, 2 miles off the coast, coming, trying to get into the harbor. It slid off of a breaker. We ended up in a breaker zone where the wave came right down on top of us, and it folded the Zodiac in half like a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh.
And it threw me in the water. Well, I'm trained as a commercial diver, so I'm used to being in the water. I didn't freak out. And this is one of the very few times in my life that I actually had a life vest on, because I've spent most of my life at sea, but most of the time we don't wear our life vests all the time. And so I expected this life vest to carry me up to the surface, but the sea was so rough this night that it just kept tossing and tumbling me around like a rag doll. And eventually I couldn't hold my breath anymore, and I drowned. I immediately found myself in this darkness, absolute darkness. But the interesting thing, and very curious to me at the time, was that in this darkness, there was peace. There was calm. I could no longer feel the raging sea all around me. Everything was like I said, peaceful and calm. And so I was very curious as to where am I, you know, that sort of thing. And then I saw this light, and I saw the light off in the distance. And I didn't go through a tunnel, but I did feel like I was moving toward the light. And as I approached the light started to wrap me in this love. And it's so hard to describe the love, because it just permeates your being. You become this love. And as I got closer, I saw the light as you asked me to describe myself, and I described myself as a fragment of that oneness. Well, the light to me seemed like millions upon millions of fragments of light, and they were all living and breathing and interacting together, and it composed this great light. And three of the fragments broke away, and they greeted me. They welcomed me home. And this was this experience, just I've never felt at home before. I have had a pretty dysfunctional life prior to this. And
did the fragment have like a human figure, or would it have a shape?
When they broke away and they welcomed me, they did. They had just an outline, you know, but you could see their eyes, and you could see the spirit in their eyes. And I recognized them. I recognized them as a family I had forgotten about, that I had forgotten existed. And they were loving me and welcoming me home, which was the most amazing experience. Up to that moment, I didn't realize how loved I was. I never, you know, in life, we don't realize how much love there is for us. And I got to experience it in that coming home back to the light. About 12 beings greeted me, and then we started to relive my life. And when I say we relived my life, it wasn't just like watching a movie or something like that. We actually relived my life, and I got to relive it from my point of view, but also from everyone who I've ever interacted with in my life. I got to view it from their point of view. So I got to feel their love, their pain, you know, their hurt, their joy. I got to feel all of that from all the people that we've ever interacted. Well, think about that for a second.
So when you say you lived your life, relived your life, was that from childhood, from an infant, from a baby to an adult, all of that in that moment?
Yes. And the interesting thing is not only that, but it would create these ripples of life that would, every interaction that we have would ripple outward, and I would see the outcomes of my actions, that sort of things. So it kept rippling outward. They call it the life review, but it's so much more than just a review of life. And not only was I experiencing it this way, but my whole soul family, these beings of light that greeted me, I call them my soul family, they were experiencing it the same way with me. And when I like to think that when we pass on, there's a process to dying. And I felt like I brought some of my judgment with me. And part of this process of dying is for us to be able to release and let go of all of that. And so there were some aspects of my life, like before this experience, I was a pretty brash young man, and my philosophy was to cut your swath through life and just survive. So that's a pretty brutal philosophy when you think about it. And Yeah, it is. And so I had done some things to become the chief engineer of this research vessel. You know, like I stepped on quite a few toes to get there. And when I relive some of those components of my life that were less savory, I was ashamed, and I brought some of my own judgment with me. But my soul family, they didn't. They didn't judge me at all. They just allowed me and loved me and supported me through this review. And eventually I started seeing parts of my future. I didn't understand what it was at first, and my soul family supported me and loved me through it, but I was actually experiencing and living part of my future that I haven't lived yet. Mm-hmm. And then
it was your future. You were aware at that moment.
That
it was, mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't at first.
I didn't understand what it was. And when I came back to this life, that was really profound to me. I didn't quite understand what that was all about, that extra element of my life review. But the light finally spoke to me, and it said, "This is not your time. You must return." And I said, "No way.
This is
not
my time.
Going back.
I create my reality. Yeah. This is my time."
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've got a family I never knew about. I'm loved like I've never been loved before. And I don't want to go back to that life. You know, I don't want to go back to living that. But the light spoke to me one more time. It said, "No, you must return. You have a purpose." But Dave, when we're connected to that light, we're plugged into this consciousness that is so much more than just ourselves. You know, I like to call it that we're connected to all the beings that ever were and all the beings that ever will be. And when you're connected to that consciousness, you are so much more than just yourself. And so when the light told me I had a purpose, that word purpose just resonated through my body. And with it, I understood this purpose that I had. And so with understanding, I came to acceptance. I just accepted it. There was no doubt at all. And once I accepted it, I found myself back outside my body. The original three light beings who had greeted me were with me, and we were watching my body as it was being tumbled and tossed, where it eventually got caught up in one of the bow lines from the zodiac, and the bow line had wrapped itself around my arm and my shoulder, and another set of these huge waves hit, and there was a little bit of air left in this one pontoon in the zodiac, and so it popped the zodiac up to the surface, and when it did that, it cinched that rope around my arm, and it pulled my body up to the surface, where I then got tangled with all the wreckage, and the waves kept pounding my body up against the wreckage. And I'm outside my body observing this with these three light beings. And as some of that water was expelled out of my lungs from being beaten up against the wreckage, that's when my light being friends gave me a gentle push, and I felt myself just vibrate back into my body.
Hmm. Wow. That must have been painful.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things I say is dying is difficult, but returning to life is even harder.
Yeah, because I say that must have been painful, because I remember there were times when I used to get an out-of-body experience, and it was some of the things you were talking about I can relate to. And then, for whatever reason, I went through a phase where I got afraid. I mean, it used to happen so many times. And then I went through a phase where I was afraid. So when my body, when I feel in my mind at that state, I'm thinking my body is leaving, I would literally force myself back because I was afraid that I might not come back, and I would wake up with a headache, just in pain. And you said so much there. I want to go back. So listeners, if you have any questions, comment, you either call in or post it on Ask Life Coach at a page, because I'm not looking at the chat room. I'm so fascinated with this conversation. I want to go back to the part where you talk about, let's talk about what you call the life review, where you get to review your life. Now, that you we take our consciousness with us. We get to, so you were reviewing your life from a place of, that part of you were judging the past experiences that brought you to where you are. What did that feel like when you reviewed, when you re-experienced what you did to others and how it affected them? What did you feel in that moment?
Well, it's interesting because I found that I came to some new understandings about love and about how we live our lives, you know, because to tell you the truth, when it first started to happen, I was just in awe. I was in gaga, like, you know, open jawed, just what's going on. And because you're experiencing so many different streams of thought all at one time, because you're experiencing it from your point of view and from everyone around you, their point of views. And so I got to see how love was probably the most powerful emotion that we have and the most powerful tool in our living arsenal, you know, that we have to help us through life. But I saw also that we're all interconnected. I saw this connection between us all and how we exchange with each other on so many different levels. So this life review was intense, and I felt, at first I felt a little blown away by it, but my family was supporting me and loving me through it. So it made it, until I got used to this new way of being through this review, you know, it took me I was taken aback, but you know, I was actually dead for 12 minutes, but I lived a whole life in that 12 minutes.
Wow. So it's interesting because I'm thinking of this, something I've always been puzzled about, and I still can't quite figure it out. I don't know if I'll ever figure it out this lifetime. When did you say God or the light said to you? Was it the light or God? Or is the light to you? Do you consider the light to be God telling you it's not your time? Was it God or you just see there's a light?
No, that to me the light is God, and the light was God, and I was conversing with God. In fact, I was arguing with God because I didn't want to come back.
I like you. It's like, let's talk about this for a minute. What do you mean it's not my time? So this, which is what I want to ask you, because I've been puzzled by this idea that the way I said, if God is the only thing happening and everything is perfect, everything is divine order, how is it possible that someone, in this case you, can die before it's your time when God told you it's not your time? I don't know if you can explain that in words I can grab, but I just want to know your perspective on that. How can it not be your time?
Yeah.
If you died.
Well, exactly. I mean, I died and then got sent back. Oh, my gosh. I mean, there's a whole lifetime of therapy right there, right? You know, got kicked out of heaven, you know.
It's a good thing you didn't go to that other place. You would have been barbecued forever and ever. So let's talk about this, not your time, babe.
It's interesting because in the light, time doesn't really exist. And so I've been trying to conceptualize this whole aspect of time anyway, because it's confusing to me. Here we live this life and we live on this linear pathway that we call life. And there in the light, that didn't exist. So time, everything was in the present, the past, the future, everything was part of that present. It's a different dimension altogether. So I don't think that we can apply the rules that we are accustomed to here. And I think that's one of the problems that a lot of experiencers have when they come back, is it becomes a challenge right away because, one, how do you describe something so grand? Now, I'm trying to tell you in a way that you can understand it, but it was so much more that I don't even have words to describe because this other dimension. In fact, a lot of people call it a hyper-reality because it's more real than this life here.
You know, when you said in the life there is no time, everything is happening at once, I get that. And then I had a deeper awareness that it's not your time could maybe, I don't know, maybe how your consciousness interpreted what you were told is not your time. Maybe that's how you explain, well, let me put it this way. I'm trying to form what's coming to me as I speak. I got the sense of part of your soul's journey was to have the near-death experience or the death experience or the spiritually transformative experience. It was part of your journey so that you could live out your purpose. But the, I don't know if I can say the human consciousness, but there's something about you that translated it. And correct me, I'm thinking out loud. Something about you translated it as not your time. What do you think about that?
I think you're right on track because when we come back, you know, this was when we communicate in the light, it's not with the limited verbal communication that we have here. It's it's so much more. So, yes, you have. When you come back, you have to translate it, you know. And even now, when spirit communicates to me now, I still have to translate it sometimes. And sometimes it doesn't reveal itself maybe for a couple of days. I might have some spirit communication that at first I think means one thing, and then after a few days it reveals itself to be much more, you know.
Yes. And we're still just talking about the first experience. Okay, so you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. We're taking your calls 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. My guest today is David Bennett. He's an expert in what it's like on the other side, telling us there's so much love. And what you're doing right now, you have an opportunity to reveal it. If you're being good, forget Santa, you know. Think about your life on the other side. If you're being nice or naughty, you're going to experience it. So if you're being mean, if you're gossiping, if you're judging, just, you know, you're going to have another opportunity to look at that and reveal it. And then you can make a different choice. We're going to take a quick break. Betty has a question. I have so many more. And number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. We're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page on Facebook, Ask Life Coach ADE fan page on Facebook. And if you don't do Facebook, why not? But if you don't, you can go, well, if you don't, it's good. You can go to lifeconversationsmedia.com and you can send your emails from there. To find out more about David Bennett, you can go to his website. It is Dharma Talks, D-H-A-R-M-A, Talks, with an S, .com. We're going to take a quick break and there's so much to life. There's so much we don't know. But then again, there's so much we know. We just can't put it in words because words can define it. I always say when we try and define love or define God, you're already limiting the experience. So just be, just live it. We'll be right back. This is Carly Jackson.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit 4parents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Yes, indeed. We're having conversations that will change your life. You're already being changed. Just the fact that you're listening to this conversation, your consciousness is shifting. You're not the same person you were a moment ago, a minute ago, last week ago. So keep listening and just watch yourself evolve and revolve and express more love, more joy, more peace, your true self. As Carly Jackson reminded us, we are free in this very moment. My guest is David Bennett, and we are talking near-death experience. Let's go to Betty. Betty has a question for David. Hey, Betty.
Hello, hello. I'm loving this conversation, and it has brought up a new way I look at near-death experiences with the new word, transformational?
Spiritually transformative experience.
Spiritually transformative experience, because I think, I'm trying to figure out how to formulate my question correctly. When I was younger, I used to, leave my body, and I will walk around the house often. I can actually see myself laying there asleep and seeing my family and friends talking or whatever. I wasn't dead, and there was no life greeting me. This would be weird for me, this experience that would happen randomly. I've later learned that people were calling that astral projecting, which I think is what you were doing, Ade, is astral projecting. I have been recently getting a lot of people who's been talking to me and saying, oh, I had a near-death experience. And most of these came through, which perhaps in your expertise in studying of this, came through the hospital where a doctor is working on them. And they actually see that process going on. And the next thing you know, they're in front of a light, and some entity is telling them it's not time, and they zoom back to their bodies and later find out from the doctor that you may have their heart either almost stopped or they were considered clinically dead for a minute or two. I've not ever read a story where a person was under for as long as you were, 12 minutes, so this is fascinating. So one part of my question is, in your studies, is there a difference between when a person have this experience where it's only 1 minute long and they've not had the extent of the experience that you have? Have you noticed that the longer they're under, the more detailed and the more things are brought to them? And is it actually a near-death experience? It's now Betty Eady, that you probably know of, her experience in her book, Embraced by the Light. She tells that after her surgery and in recovery, she finds herself going into lifelessness and then having this experience. But she never said she actually died, but she called it a near-death experience. So I'm wondering, this term out-of-body experiences, do a person have an out-of-body experience where they're actually meeting a crossed-over loved one or something? Would that be considered a near-death experience, particularly if they didn't actually die, in the case that I think with Betty Edie, but she's calling it a near-death experience.
Yes, actually, the research shows that there are it's kind of funny. On IANS, you mentioned that I gave a talk at the International Association for Near-Death Studies, IANS. And on their website, they receive a lot. They have a section where people can submit their near-death experience. And more than, I think it's like more than 20 to 30% of the people were not near-death that report near-death experiences, and they can be just as profound, and they can, or they cannot be. The interesting thing about near-death experiences is that they're all unique to each individual, and that may be like Adai and I were saying, you know, that you have to translate this when you come back to life, and that may be part of the uniqueness, but it's interesting that. It doesn't. There's no correlation between a person who died or a person that wasn't near death. I have a friend of mine who was actually just in a severe depression, and she wanted to die. And she laid down on this couch, and she had this experience where she went into the light, but then she experienced her life by facing this wall. And this wall was composed of all these bricks and stones. And as she would focus her attention on one stone or another, a different aspect of her life was revealed to her. So it was, you know, and so she had this amazing, profound experience, you know, and she felt love through all the experience as well. And she was not near death. She was laying on her couch just in a severe depression. So many people do have these experiences without being without dying, and out of body experiences can be very spiritually transformative. Many times people have OBEs or out of body experiences. You know, you got to love all these acronyms, OBE, OBEs, you know, blah blah blah, you know, but anyway, you know, people have out-of-body experiences, and it can be incredibly spiritually transformative. Same thing with kundalini experiences, spontaneous awakenings, angel encounters. There's just so many transformative experiences.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, yes. Thanks, Betty. You know, as I listen to you, David, what is coming up for me, you talk about the OBE. I can put that behind my name now because I've had several. I had so many. I mean, it just happens so frequently, you know. But what I don't know what happened because there was a time when it was just happening. I don't even think about it. I just go to bed. Next thing I know, I feel like I'm floating and just sometimes I'm looking back at the house and I'm looking at the sky. It looks like the sun is shining and I'm talking about how beautiful it looks. And then I'm actually communicating with myself and saying, okay, I got to go back in my body now. And it's almost like there are three layers. So when I say I got to go back in my body, it's like I go into my body as I'm thinking in that consciousness, in that stage. But then I realize that was just another body. And then I finally wake up in the physical body and say, wait a minute, how many bodies do I have? And as I listen to you, I think if we don't get too caught up in the words, because it's like I said just before the break earlier, I believe the minute you start to define love or God, you limit the experience because words are very limiting. Sometimes you have an experience and you're trying to put it in words and you're like, it's kind of like, but it's more. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like that. And as I listen to you, the information you're bringing forth from what I'm receiving is we're being reminded to know that it's so much more. So much more, and words, and not get caught up in words, because that makes it very challenging, because then we get stuck in the mind again. What do you say to that?
I totally agree. We do limit it whenever we try to describe it or put a name on it. That going back to the beginning of the show when we said, what's a near-death experience? I don't care for the term because it's very limiting. And another thing you said is you have to just sometimes when you're trying to describe it as something like or something like this, something like that. But I think we have to just allow it to be within our being. Okay, when someone else is questioning you about your experience, that's different. We have to use this communication that we know of, right? Mm-hmm. But within your being, just allow it. Allow the experience to be. And to know that you're not alone is very important to experiencers. When I came back, I felt isolated because I lived in a pretty macho world. We did underwater exploration and that sort of stuff. And we did a lot of diving and submersible work. And we put each other's lives in each other's hands every day. So death was a taboo subject. And a lot of experiencers come back and the environment that they live in, or maybe their family, their work environment, whatever it may be, sometimes they don't feel like they can communicate about this experience that they just had, the spiritual experience. And that was the way it was with me. I felt so isolated that I couldn't share it. And I don't really believe that that's a healthy thing for us, that if we really do need to find other people, and there are so many experiencers out there, it's just unbelievable. There was a study in, I think, 2004 by the University of Chicago that showed that 27.5% of the U.S. population have had some form of spiritual experience. That's over a third of the United States, the population of adults. This wasn't children, but this was adults. And when you think about it, well, a third of the country, and nobody's saying a word about it. It's because we still don't have a community that really supports these experiences. We don't have the infrastructure to help each other, and so that we can communicate and we can learn more from it. Things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I want to tie a lot of things going on in my mind. I'm really focusing on you most of the time anyway. There are things I got to do on the computer here. But the other two spiritually transformative experiences that you had, were they similar to the first one? Was there anything else that you learned that you didn't experience before, or it was just the same? Was there anything distinctly different?
Well, the second one was very much the same. It actually happened. I was the man. I quit my life at sea because after an experience like this, another common theme that happens to a lot of experiencers is I felt this call to be of service, to help my fellow man. So I didn't feel like my life at sea, being isolated out there, was the best way to do that. So I quit my life at sea. Eventually, I became the manager of dialysis programs in central New York, in the state of New York. And I started changing from that first experience. But for 11 years, I didn't share the experience. And I had a kind of a spiritual crisis because I wasn't living my truth. I had this spiritual crisis that happened 11 years later in 94. I went back to where I spent much of my teenage years, Sedona, Arizona. I grew up there, and I was sitting on Bell Rock, and in a meditation, the light came to me, and it told me to return to the light. And so I relived my near-death experience, and I couldn't turn it off for 3 days. I kept reliving it for 3 days because because I isolated myself and I tried to forget it, but meanwhile I was having these intuitive knowings, I could see auras, things like that, but it freaked me out because I was an engineer, and before this experience, my way of living was through logic and reason, and suddenly I had this esoteric experience that rocked my world, and I came back and I was seeing auras and I could have these intuitive knowings, but I didn't know what to do with it, so I tried to push a lot of it away.
I want, I want to ask you, yeah, right. So that part, you said for 11 years, which is funny, because then after 11 years and you didn't do what you're supposed to do, you were sent back to the principal's office.
Exactly.
You got an extended detention. You did not do what we told you to do. Come back here. So what was one thing to be sent to the principal's office, but another thing to be sent to the universal principal, the head of all things. Why didn't you share the experience for 11 years? What is it that what stopped you from sharing that experience?
Well, my wife, this was in my first marriage I had this experience. I tried to share it with her, and she had a very bad reaction. It scared her, and so I couldn't share it with her. And the same thing with my work at work, and you know, my work environment and things like that. And I lived so much of my life out to sea. Mm-hmm. But when I started having this call of service, I really didn't feel like I could share it with anybody. So I self-isolated myself, which was part of the spiritual crisis. And it happens to more people than you think. A lot of people have these experiences, but they don't feel that they can share it. One, out of fear that people are going to criticize or ridicule,
right.
You know,
right.
Stuff like
right.
that, you know. So, I mean, those are real fears that we have. And so we have to, and it took me 11 years, I think, because I did change. Because when I had the second experience, I got to see in that life review, remember, I had previewed my future. I got to see that 10 years of life or 11 years of life between the first experience and the second experience. And I got to see how much it had really affected me and really started a lot of change in my life. But the second experience taught me that I need to now live it. I need to walk the talk, in other words,
right.
you know.
Right.
And so I started what I called my quiet ministry. I felt that I could live in a way that exemplifies what I'd learned in these experiences. I didn't have to preach about it. I didn't have to go out and try to convert people or anything like that. I could just quietly live my life knowing what I know and living by this new set of rules, you might say. And that, so the second experience changed me in that way, that I finally came to experience. And a neat thing that happened after the second experience was I ran into other experiencers, and they let me know it was okay. I wasn't alone. That you know, to talk about it, to find community. And that's when I really feel like I started integrating this experience into my life, into my being, so that I could start to work toward wholeness again.
So after being an expert twice, visiting the great goddess of life, just going to, you know, you just booked your regular appointments to go see what the light has for you. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I got frequent flyer miles now to go to the other realm. Well, what happened the third one? Tell us about that experience.
Well, this is kind of the key part of the purpose, because in the book that I wrote, Voyage of Purpose, I am trying to show how an experience, a spiritual experience, can be a seed, and how we nurture it kind of helps us. But purpose, remember, I was told I had a purpose. Well,
right.
A lot of these experiences, all these experiences, kind of led me up to this third experience that I had in 2000. I'm now the manager of dialysis programs. I'm in my office, and suddenly it felt like my back exploded. And I walked up to the emergency department, and I presented myself there, and they found that I had tumors that had originated in my lungs, and my right lung was pretty much gone. And that it was just one giant tumor, and that it had metastasized into my spine. It ate away 2.5 bones of my thoracic portion of my spine, and the tumor could no longer support my spine, and it collapsed. And when they did further tests, they found I had lesions in my hip, my brain, and my kidneys. And so the medical profession felt that I only had weeks, because once the cancer got in my bones, it was moving rapidly through my body. And they felt I only had weeks. And so they were going to make me comfortable and let me pass. But again, I remembered seeing this in my life review. I saw in that future element of my life review, I saw that I was going to have cancer. But I'd also saw that I was going to live beyond the cancer. And so I was able, this third experience helped me to focus what I'd learned in those first two experiences and then all of the path that I had developed in my quiet ministry and all of that to now focus on healing from this cancer. And I use spirit. After the second experience, I actually started now conversing with spirit. It wasn't just intuitive knowings anymore. Now we actually have conversations.
You
which
did
is another
on
reason.
First name basis.
Yeah, you know, and that's another thing you don't broadcast all the time because, you know, you wait for some guy to put a white coat on you or something, you know. So, you know, it's another one of those fear things that we all live with, you know. But with spirit communication and listening, I was able to find the treatment modalities because I use traditional treatment and holistic approaches, and I was able to be cancer free within 6 months.
Wow. You're listening to Ask Life Coach at AOLifeConversationsRadio.com. My guest is David Bennett. His website address is Dharma Talks, Dharma, D-H-A-R-M-A, Talks with an S, .com. We have a question from the Ask Life Coach at A fan page. Teresa said, and you spoke to some of this, but I'm going to read her question anyway. She said, were you a religious person prior to the experience? What was your belief prior to that, and how did his views change after? Wow, there's another question. How did your views, like a true Aries, I understand. So she wants to know if you were a religious person at first. What was your belief prior to the near-death experience? How did it change after? And what were you told or shown your purpose was after? And then there's another question, but I'll let you answer those ones first. Teresa, you should have just called in. Okay, go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'll try to answer those in order. Before the experience, I had a very dysfunctional life, and just to keep a long story short, I was thrown from one family to the next, to the next, to the next as a child. So I got to experience a lot of different types of religions and beliefs and that sort of thing. But only at one point, when I was living in Arizona as a young man, my friend's grandmothers, they were Navajo and Hopi, and they kind of took me in because they saw the dysfunction in my life when I was like 14. And they helped me find my sacred space at that age. And I would have to say that prior to my near-death experience, that was probably the most time that I focused on any belief system, because I heard about all these different beliefs and all that sort of thing, but I really didn't adopt any of it. But I did a little bit with these grandmothers because they really kind of helped me to find my sacred space. So prior to the experience, and then, you know, you get older and then, you know, you go to school, become an engineer, you know, you get into the role of life, and I pretty much didn't have a spiritual basis at that point when I had the first experience. But I did, after the experience, I knew I had talked to God. And there was no doubt. I had conversed and argued and agreed with God and was trying to get a grip on my purpose in life, because I understood it seemed so simple in the light, but then coming back to life, it wasn't quite so simple. I'm back with this linear brain and having to try to figure it out. But I had a new spirituality. I wouldn't call it religious, but I would call it a new heightened spirituality. So I started searching for spirituality in all belief systems. I mean, if you look at our library today, you would see that we look at all different belief systems, because we know there's spirituality in all of them, and we honor that in all belief systems. So I would have to say that's where it's led me, this experience, that I believe I'm very spiritual now. I try to honor the spirituality. I try to honor the divine that's within me every day.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And we've got a caller. We're going to come to you, Celeste. But I wanted to ask you, well, before I even ask you, I was thinking when you talk about acting with God, I could just imagine you being there and out of your body saying, "You're on, I object. I object. I'm just not going back this time." You know, and God say, "Oh, overruled." Get your head back over there. So when you had, so you've had this three different experiences. Was there a part of you, your human self, that judged the fact that you had to go through three different experiences, or do you actually find that you look forward to it now?
Oh, my goodness. When I came back, you're like, why me? You know, what's this all about? Why am I getting picked on here, you know? and then why couldn't I stay there? You know, so you have a lot of questions once you come back. And that's part of the challenges to integrating all of this. But I kind of lost my train of thought there. I was going somewhere.
the question was, was there self-judgment? I'm saying the question so it can trigger the answer. Did you have a judgment about the fact that it had to happen so many times, or did you find yourself looking forward to it so that, you know, it just became, did it become normal for you? Hopefully that triggers the answer.
It has now. It has now. Mm-hmm. It's become normal for me now. But it took, there was a little bit of a rocky road to get from there to here now, because you got to realize my experience happened in 83, the first one, and the second one in 94. That's a long time ago. But I've had a lot of time to find teachers, to find other experiencers to help me to integrate this experience and to help me move forward. And that's what got me through the cancer and everything. As far as the next time, when it's my time to go, there's no fear. I have no fear of crossing over. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to suffer along the way. You know? Mm-hmm. But and another thing, I would never do anything to shorten this life, because I understand how special it is to experience this life and how honored we are to have this physical body.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of awareness do you have now when it comes to interacting with people who may be pissing you off, but you know that you're going to get to review this again? And in that moment, you're thinking, "I don't care about spiritually transformed right now." How does that change you in how you react and respond to people?
Hey, we're all human, you know. I mean, we may have had these spiritual experiences. We may have achieved awakening, but we have to live in this world. And so we're always going to run across the clerk who's very rude to us for no apparent reason, other than we just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know. And that's a part of life. But I think it's part of the learning how to live this life. And if I can be a heart-centered, authentic individual, usually I find that when I come across Mr. or Mrs. Grumpy, that they will feel that resonance. They'll feel that within me. And it's fun to watch the transformation. And when you treat them lovingly, even though they're being Mr. and Mrs. Grumpy to you, you can see the change. Now, I'm talking about the day-to-day, just casually running into someone who's in a bad mood. But once in a while in life, you know, we might run across something much more severe, okay? Mm-hmm. And in that situation, I know enough. I can discern when this is not healthy for me. And I'm going to distance myself from those situations.
Yes, yes, yes. And it sounds like, you know, when you meet Mr. and Mrs. Grumpy, you say, "This is a perfect opportunity for me to be Mr. Grateful." Yeah, that works all the time.
gratitude. That's how I start my day. Every day is with gratitude. I get up in the morning before my feet even touch the floor. I start what I call my gratitudes. And that leads into my reflections, where spirit communication I don't know, something about being grateful helps us get into that meditative state. And I'll do my morning meditations and reflections with spirit. And then I take those and I share them. I throw them out on Facebook and Twitter. My website is Dharma Talks, but this is the same thing. I have a Twitter is Dharma Talks, and my Facebook page is Dharma Talks as well. So it's easy to find me and find, you know, the stuff that I'm doing these days. Also, the book, Voyage of Purpose, there's so much more detail about what we're talking about today in our new book, Voyage of Purpose.
Yes, speaking of Voyage of Purpose, we're going to talk about that before we release the show, what you think your purpose is right now and how you're living it. And speaking of purpose, right now, David has some gifts he wants to sprinkle on everybody. So 347-426-3, well, not everybody, but selected few. 347-426-3346. People get carried away. Let's go to Celeste. She said, I got something for David Bennett. Hey, Celeste, how are you doing?
Hey, hello, okay. David Bennett. Okay, I'm going to do this quick. But Mr. Bennett, I'm walking by some trees right now, and you're making fireworks go for me. Now, when I say that, that means you're saying things that my spirit wants to share with you. And I play with numbers, and I wanted to let you know, when you said that for the first time that you transitioned, which for 12 minutes, that's the energy that's actually running today. I add the date up, and I reduce it. But here's the other thing. When you said 1983, I saw more lights. And I went, huh, let me add that up. It's 21. That year equals 21. And the lesson of that year, and this doesn't come up for a lot, it's the world. It is the end of the major arcana card, Tratero. That's when the fool grows fully up to complete a cycle and then to start anew. And when you add that up, you get 3. 12 and 21 equals 3. And you said that you start your day with gratitude. That is the Empress. That is about abundance, diversity, and Mother Earth, all wrapped up in one, diversity. And it's very, very powerful. It's also the elk in the medicine cards, which is stamina. Clearly you have it. And again, that 3 comes up again because you had these experiences 3 times. You have a very powerful story. Thank you for sharing it.
Oh, Celeste, thank you. You know, my heart was singing while you were sharing all that. And it's funny, you mentioned a medicine card it being elk. Well, elk is my major totem, and it's actually my native name is looking elk. It's a big part of my observance now in life. It's taught me that life comes in cycles, you know, and when we're observant, when we're mindful, when we're being present, and we observe the cycles that we're in, because I guess numerology tends to look at what cycles are you in your life at this point, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned it from a different way than numerology, but I learned it through observation of how to observe our cycles. And when a new energy comes into our life, a new cycle, we can honor that. And then once we recognize it, then life flows a lot better.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste, for your gift, and you get a gift. David's got a generous gift for everybody. Well, I keep saying everybody. Well, it's the conversation is already a gift. Maybe that's why I'm saying it. So I really need to let go. And Betty will come to you.
Oh, my goodness.
You going to say something, David?
Yeah. We're going to give away some my wife is the co-author, and she also does a lot of teaching, and she's got a class on psychic development, psychic protection, that we're going to give everybody that asks for it.
Yes, everybody that asks for it by calling in. 347-426-3346. All right. So, yeah, thank you. I like the way you said that, David. That inspired me to say, we're going to give it to everybody, but that's if you call it. Well, yeah, well, show is almost over. I think we could. Let me be careful when I put that into the ether. Anyway, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back as David about his purpose, right? Now and the message for humanity and all the divisive conversation and things that happen in the world, what can we do differently, and just the fear of 2012. I know he's got a message for us. I can feel the answer right now, but I'd let him talk. Well, the number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
I'm singing, grateful for all the love that I have. Yes, indeed, I am grateful that I can sing. I am grateful that I have a vocal cord. I don't care what you say about my voice. I am grateful. As a matter of fact, I am grateful that I can just do what I do. I am grateful for David Bennett, who is sharing gifts with us, and also lovingly said he can stay a little bit longer. So let's just... That was Karen Drucker. If you find out more about her, go to her website, karendrucker.com. Karen Drucker, DRUCKER.com. It's all about gratitude. It's all about great attitude. When you're in a great attitude, you draw greatness to you. When you draw greatness to you, you will remember and recognize that, I am grateful. I am grateful. You're full of greatness. Let's go to Teresa. She's got a comment. Hey, Teresa, how are you doing, my sister friend? Let's try this again.
Hi, Welcome. Ani. Hi. Hi, David.
Hi, Teresa.
I'm grateful for you and Ade, is, of course, and Betty and all of you, and I'm grateful to be here. I'm. This is, like Betty said, this is one of my favorite topics, but as more and more people have these experiences and start talking about it, it really excites me. And more and more people that are out of the spiritual element, like the scientists, and you were an engineer, so somebody who didn't really dabble in spirituality or didn't have it on the front burner, you were just kind of going through life and going through the motions. And I love about your story is that you felt called to share what you had experienced, yet, you know, you were hesitant. Probably, you know, part of it is because you couldn't put it into words, and then, as you know, people are going to think you're crazy and all that. But you took from that the seed of using what you learned through in your experience to start walking the talk. So it went above and beyond just sharing the story. It was about you putting it into action in your life and starting to make changes within yourself. And I think that is just huge, because that's really what it's about, is as you said, it goes beyond the words. So when you encounter somebody who's not in that higher place of love and knowing that, you don't have to say anything, just you being in the presence of them, they will feel that. They will take something from just you being there with them and walk away with it, whether they realize it or not.
Right.
Just opens my heart to be here today with you, and it excites me, because it's like, yes, everybody's, you know, more and more people are coming out, they're talking, they're sharing, and the similarities in the stories are just, it's exciting. It's exciting for people to know that we're so much more than our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. And this is just a journey and an experience. And I'm excited.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I'm glad that your wife, because you said originally your wife was kind of freaked out and scared about all this, right? And now she's
right.
on board with you?
No,
well,
that
wife.
Was my first wife, yeah. It didn't work out, unfortunately, with my first wife. Our paths separated, but I've since found a person that I can share my life with. I can be who I am totally around her, and she helped me co-author the book because she was wonderful in asking questions about it and allowing me to pull that out of myself, you know.
That's beautiful. And yes, and Celeste, I want to acknowledge Celeste, because I asked a question before Celeste got on, and I love how we're all we're all so connected that before I get the words out to ask the question, you were answering them, David, for me, before they were even asking you. And then Celeste came in because I wanted to know about the divine numbers. I'm very much into that as well. The sequence between your first and second and third near-death experience, you know, the dates. And you were throwing the dates out there as I was asking. So not the dates, but the years. And I love it, because I think it's all related. It all comes full circle, and that you could relate to the animal medicine, and it just opens my heart. So thank you for following what it was that you were shown to do. So one more thing that you didn't answer yet: why do you think that you had to go three times? What do you think it was that was trying to be shared or opened up to you that you learned differently, and each time that maybe on the third time it was, okay, now I got it?
Yeah, well, you almost answered the question there. but, each experience built upon the next, and they all kind of guided me. It was this purpose that was the underlying vibration between all of it, was that each experience built upon the next in my spiritual growth. And so I was able to then overcome the cancer, because I was able to apply all of this that I had learned, and through visualization and through holistic approaches and some traditional medicine, I was able to overcome that cancer. And now on the other side, I'm really living my purpose, because now the cancer, when my spine collapsed and everything, it pretty much made me a disabled person. I don't view myself as disabled, but that's how the medical world views me, as disabled. But I can now do my work that I really feel driven to. Now I work with experiencers from all around the world. I have a local group in Central New York here where we meet. In fact, we're meeting this Friday. And there we create a safe place where experiencers can come without judgment, share the frustrations of living an awakened life, living as an authentic being, and how, you know, how do we share ourselves this way, and how do we live our lives this way in a culture that doesn't necessarily support that all the time. Also, I work with people that are terminal, facing death, that sort of thing, and it allows me to share that with them. And then Spirit made me write this book. Again, I, you know, Spirit talks to me all the time. I don't necessarily always listen. Even to this day, I still argue with Spirit. You think I would learn, but actually I have learned. When Spirit talks now, I do listen. But I wrote this book to kind of, because I don't want other experiencers to have to kind of go through what I went through of being isolated. And in this world of social media and that sort of thing, we don't have to be isolated anymore. It, as long as we can plug in, that, that can be an obstacle in itself for some individuals. But if we can plug in a little bit now and then, and we can find community, even if it's not physically present. But I still believe that being in the physical presence of another experiencer that you can talk to without having to rationalize what happened, you don't have to make, you know, justifications for anything. You can just share, you know, your experience and what you're going through. I think that that is the most helpful thing that experiencers can do for themselves.
Well, it's very empowering.
Yes,
and I love that you are working with people that are terminal, because what a gift in such a different way. I'm very attached to hospice as well, and I've not had a near-death experience. So you've got that extra that extra little bit of something to say. There's nothing to fear going, you know, where you're going. So thank you.
There's a new book out by Raymond Moody called Glimpses of Eternity, and it talks about shared experiences where, and this happens very commonly in hospice, where you're bedside with someone who's transitioning, and you actually cross over with them to a certain degree until you reach a barrier where you can't go any further. But
how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
It's like seeing somebody off at the airport. Like,
yeah,
okay,
just
can't
kind
go
of
through
giving
this.
Them
yeah.
a hug, giving them a hug, and holding their hand, and then that last release of
sharing that love with them on their final voyage. Oh
yeah,
my goodness,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll have to grab that too.
TSA would take over.
Oh,
like, come on, we got it from you.
And no strip searches.
Right. Well, actually, you make a strip of stuff that you don't need to bring to that realm.
Oh, there you go.
It's okay.
It's voluntarily. It's voluntarily.
I can go so many places with this analogy, but I won't. So, Teresa, stay online. Betty's going to get your details and to receive the gift that David is offering. So thank you very much for calling in. And those of you that are listening on the phone line already, if you want to receive a gift, you got to press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on your keypad. As we get ready to release the show, David, there's so much just flying around in my mind, in my consciousness, in my awareness. And I listened to your story. I think of you being an aloha, and you said something about a zodiac. And, you know, that you had another near-death experience 11 years later. I mean, with the power of 11, I think Celeste was speaking to that. We had a numerologist on the show this week and, you know, reminding us that December 21st, 2012 adds up to 11, and it means enlightenment. It means we're going to be aware. We're going to change how we communicate. So it's almost like your second spiritually transformative experience was that opportunity for you to transform, to receive the enlightenment, and it's okay now to speak. And for me, when I think of all of that, it's like we've got to understand somehow, we've just got to find it within ourselves that there's some things that are going on that we cannot fully understand with our logical mind. But if we trust the process and put love in front of everything or in everything that we do or come from that place, it will make a difference.
Yeah, we need to kind of rise above this material fog and the shadow of this reality. And when we can move on toward a more illuminated lifestyle where we're heart-centered and we're living as authentic beings. That's awakening. You know, that's what it's all about. And I think that that's what 2012 is all about. I think it's as I talk to people around the world, I find that we're all sharing the same message. We're all looking for that spiritual, divine within ourselves. And we're trying to find ways to communicate that, you know. And I think that that's kind of the theme of what 2012 is, the energy of 2012 is really all about, that more and more people are finding that that's what the true meaning of living this life is all about. And I think that we're going to reach that apex where enough people have, I think we're very close to that point where we reach the apex where there are enough individuals that are saying the same things, that are searching for the same thing, that it's going to become a major part of our consciousness. It's going to rise up from the darkness of our consciousness to the forefront in a much more profound way. So I think that's what 2012 is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's just the beginning, you know?
I so agree. And even we're talking about rising up, rising above, where if we're one with God, why are we afraid? If we're one with love, why are we afraid of love? And I actually love the fact that you say you argue with God and spirit. I mean, yes, because when you have a best friend, sometimes you disagree on things. You don't say, oh, no, I don't want to agree. I don't want to disagree. I don't want to argue with my best friend. You just enjoy the moment, and then you say, I now understand it. So I like the fact that you're hanging with G-O-D or the goddess, and you say, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. And God says, okay. Whatever you choose, I still love you. You know?
That's it, too. Most of the time, it's I don't want to do something,
It's a good place to be. It's a very good place to be, to be able to say, oh, I don't know about that, God, rather than being afraid. Why are we afraid of love? It's a whole new way of looking at what God, goddess, universe, spirit, whatever name you want to call it, soul, Jesus, Buddha, God ain't tripping. So relax. But, you know, I think that's really awesome. As we get ready to release the show, is there anything else you want to share with us, what people need to remember in their day-to-day activities, even in the midst of recession, which is not true, but anyway, in the midst of the recession and the economy and all the stuff that's going on in the world, the people say, this is scary. Is there anything you would like to share with them to keep them trusting, knowing that all is truly well?
Yeah, I like to remind people to take time to listen. Listen within, you know, find that stillness within yourself. Simple meditation is one of the greatest gifts we can give ourselves. And there's always time to breathe, always time to relax and to focus. And when we do, you know, spirit is patiently waiting there for us.
Life is good, it's getting better. David Bennett, thank you so much for your story, for being brave enough to go to the other side and bring back the message. Most people would say, I don't know about that. But we're grateful that we get to live vicariously through you what it's like on the other side. And thank you for showing up and saying yes. Thank you. Life is good.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome, David. To find out more about David, you can go to his website, is dharmatalks.com. I think, yes, it is .com. My brain did something there. I think I know what happened. It's D-H-A-R-M-A, talks with a S.com. Find out more. There's a lot of videos on there, or other interviews he's done. Just great things. And there's also a video where a humpback whale was being rescued. And that was just, oh my God, I watched that last night. And let me see, David saw that. I want to ask David about that, what he thinks and feels about that. And now, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. David, we can bring you back. So you have that video of the humpback whale being rescued and how it was swimming. And at the end, what I call the gratitude dance, that was just heartwarming and so much more. What do you think about that video? What made you put it on your site?
Well, I was very fortunate, and I put a there's a segment in my book that's called Scar, where I got to spend some time with a humpback whale, and they are so incredibly intelligent. I know that whale knew that these people were there trying to aid the whale to rescue that whale, and that's why, you know, he gave them that gratitude dance. He was so happy to be out of confinement, and he was willing to share that with them. The whale that I had was shared his love with me, and it was quite moving, and I didn't appreciate it quite at the time, but I've come to a new appreciation now.
Do you know what I just saw, David? The humpback that we're talking about on your site, which I think is in there, is it in the what tab is it on? Is it in the Transformative Experience? I think that's the one it is. But anyways, on your site, people can look for it. Just as you were talking, I just got this image that it represented you. See, the loving beings, the light, were the people cutting the net and setting you free. And then when they set you free, you were doing the dance by sharing the love and the gratitude. So you are the humpback whale. That's you. That's you.
Hey,
I know I have to watch that for a reason.
Yeah, I'll do that light dance anytime.
Once again, thank you very much. I truly appreciate you, and continue to share and just continue to remind us who we are. Thank you very much, my brother. You're very welcome. Life is good. It's getting better. This is the only place where we can end the interview and we can go back. Because when you're doing your own thing, when you're being the change you want to see, you can do whatever you want to do. As a matter of fact, if I'm inspired again to go back to David, I will. But I'm not inspired to do it, meaning I wasn't led to do it, so I won't do it. And that would be a little bit annoying, wouldn't it? But anyway, I'm just letting you know, when you be the change you want to see, you get to do things the way you want to do it. And then you don't have to worry about what other people think about you, because people are going to think something about you anyway. They're going to talk about you. They're either talking about what an amazing work you're doing, or they're going to have another conversation. But you know what? It doesn't matter if they gossip, if they judge, if they blame, if they criticize you, they're going to get a life review. and people just get on your nerves and like, you say, wait a minute, I'm grateful to God that they're going to get a life review. That's hell. If there ever was a hell, that is hell. So I don't know. It's like, I wonder if we can go back and correct some of the things we've done in the past. Yes, I think we can. It's called karma credit. Start giving the love right now. Start living from now, because the past and the present and the future all live in the now. So in this moment, you can shift your reality. It is time to release the show. Thank you all for staying with us, sticking with us. And those of you who had to leave, you're not here, but hopefully you'll be inspired. I speak to your soul to come back and listen to the rest of the conversation. I am so, so grateful for you coming back, sharing the show. I am so grateful that I get to live the life that I'm living, to have conversations with wonderful people, to actually have conversations about things that are important to me. That is that's beyond gratitude. And I thank you all for sharing that with me. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And Betty, you know how I feel about you. I am so grateful to have you as part of Life Conversations Radio. It comes that holy moment. Let's just breathe. It's okay. It's okay. Let's just breathe. You know, I am just grateful. I'm full. I'm full of greatness, of love. And I stand for all of you to be able to live from this place. And this place, meaning your place, where you get to experience, where you embody what you know to be truth, where you experience true love, love that sets you free. And when you live from that place and that space, it's like being drunk. It's a different kind of drunk. You get intoxicated with the spirit, and then you become indestructible. Let's listen to Carly Jackson. I'm led to play her again to remind her. And help me celebrate the movement of Mercury retrograde. Today, the last day. Thank goodness. Because right now it's still messing with me. Carly Jackson, in spite of Mercury retrograde, all the stuff that's going on in the world, who are we? Who am I? Tell me, please. I need to know.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
That is the truth. I know it to be. And I thank you all for listening. It's getting ready to release the show right now. And, yeah, we'll be back here tomorrow talking with Kirkland and Laura Ross, talking about the transformative power of sound to help you activate your God potential, your Godness potential, your isness potential, your pure awareness. Life is good, it's getting better. Let's see, what song do we want to go out with? Let's see. Let me scroll down here. Let me play these jingles while I look for a song. I don't know. But anyway, Mark Victor Hansen, tell them why they need to keep coming back and listening to the show, because they need to. I mean, apart from the fact that I encourage people not to go a day without Life Coach a day, what do you think, Mark Victor Hansen?
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, indeed. I love it. When you're one with the one, you hear words. You get you actually hear the spirit speaking to you. So now, I've been given the song to play, but I want to play something else. I'm going to do a David. I'm going to add you with spirit. So I have a choice to play Trust Love or The Breath of God. I heard to play Trust Love, but I want to play The Breath of God. Okay, I guess I'll play Trust Love. Yeah, because I need to trust right now. I'm out of here. Trust Love, Ricky Byers Beckwith. Her website address is We Let It Be. We Let It Be. Maybe I'll play The Breath of God after Trust Love. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. All right, peeps, I'm out of here. Be loved, be grateful, and more importantly, be loved. I say more importantly, be loved, because being loved is receiving the love that already exists. And sometimes some of us struggle with receiving the love. It's easy to give it or just come from that place of giving, but it's just as powerful to receive. This is Trust Love. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Trust Love. It is the essence of who you are. I am out of here. Peace and blessings.
That we are here to be the perfect givers of love and receivers of love, and love will have the final word. The essence of the spirit.
And the receivers of love. I typically get a letter on my birthday. And for the last several years, the salutation has not been happy birthday, but happy begotten.
Mm.
We have a tendency when we think of a birthday as our life beginning the moment that we come out of the womb. If our life were a timeline, the moment out of the womb becomes T0. And we don't even give our mothers credit for the 9 months that we were in utero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
know,
just a second before coming out of the womb, it's as though our life did not exist. And the reality is that it is not simply that our life started that moment out of the womb. We are part of an unbroken chain of life since the beginning of humanity. An unbroken chain of life. If any one of our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers hadn't been alive, we wouldn't be here. And they had to live long enough to have children. So we are the descendant of survivors. So it isn't simply that, well, this is my birthday and this is the beginning of my life. No, we are the next link in the whole evolutionary unfoldment of humanity. That is so extraordinary when we get out of the egocentric way of looking at it. So just like we carry physical DNA, we carry this soul remembrance, the whole consciousness from the beginning, the wisdom, the understanding, the creativity, you know, the love, the power, the passion, you know, all of that. So when a child is born, we should celebrate the fact that this beautiful essence has come here not as a blank slate, but as a wonderful place of convergence, of energy and awareness that wants to express itself in this time zone.
hold you back, that hold you back from living life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.